Hey there, people. So glad to be speaking with you today. Thanks for having me in your gym workout or in your house or in your car or on your bike or wherever you are. It's a pleasure to be sharing God's word with you, and I'm believing that you will be blessed. I'm praying for you that the power of God will touch your life this week in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the C3 Church Global Podcast, and I am really excited about what we're sharing with you today. This message that I am bringing here today is the third in our But God series, and I know that no matter what we are facing in difficulties, that this message is extremely helpful for me. As I've even read through it, there's like a range of messages that and angles and obvious perspectives that we can take to prepare a message for this day, for Good Friday. One of the messages that I've done is what's good about Good Friday, and to talk through the benefits that Jesus secured for us through the cross, which I put into another book called Seven Great Works of the Cross. But there are immense things that Jesus has accomplished for us through the new covenant that is comes to us through the cross. However, today I wanted to talk about traveling through difficulty. So I've called Through It All, But God Through It All. And in Matthew 26, verse 39, it speaks about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he is facing the prospect of the cross, he knows it's coming. And he has been talking to Elijah and Moses about it on the Mount of Transfiguration. God has been speaking to him about it in his heart. He has seen it prefigured and prophesied about in the Old Testament scriptures. And now it's going to happen. It's come down to it as 33 years of age. He's about to go to the cross as a sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. And it says here, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then in verse 42, again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Matthew 26, verse 44. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying these same words. The first point I want to make about difficult times, even though we are wrestling with them, eventually, we must embrace the fact we have got a difficulty. We have got a big challenge here. Facing the reality of our difficulty can be a difficult moment, can be very challenging for us, but I want you to know that you are built for it. And as you wrestle with God and with yourself to accept what cannot be changed, you're going to find yourself facing it far more easily. Rather than trying to avoid it, rather than trying to deny it, And the fact is, here is Jesus himself wrestling with a reality that he cannot escape. He can't change it. So he's finally resolving to accept it. He's reconciling himself with this reality. In a sense, he's acquiescing to this reality that cannot be changed. And therein, he finds the strength to face it with joy. The Bible is so real about its heroes. Even Jesus, it has no hesitation showing us their challenges, the difficulties they had with accepting their reality, which in this case was to die on behalf of other people. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. What, as a 33-year-old, your whole life is before you, and you're being asked to die, to sacrifice your life for the freedom of others, to take the pain and pay the price so that others won't have to take the pain. They won't have to pay the price, but you're going to. And even worse than that, they're the guilty ones. They're the ones who've done the crime, chased pleasure and enjoyed all kinds of illicit things And you haven't. You've been innocent. You've been a good person. You've been kind. And yet you're being asked to take the price and pay the price for their salvation, even if they don't receive it. That was God's love for you and I. That happened on Good Friday when Jesus actually went to the cross. The second point I want to make is, whatever trial we're going through, it's a price we are paying for a new level of power in our life. Whatever difficulty and challenge you're going through right now, it's going to take you higher. But there's a price to going higher, and it's traveling through that trial. Jesus was eventually going to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But the way to the throne was through the cross. The way to the crown on his head in heaven was through the crown of thorns here on earth. I mean, there's that quaint little saying, no pain, no gain. But this is at a whole different level, where we're talking about him going into that Garden of Gethsemane and feeling the price and saying, God, I don't want to pay it. But eventually he reconciled that he would go through with it. Do you know the word Gethsemane, that garden where he was praying? It means oil press. It means the place where the olive oils were pressed out, crushed, and the oil came from them. There is no anointing oil coming on our lives without a price that we'll pay, where we are somewhat crushed, where we travel through a painful period in our lives. The third point I want to make is that he had friends. We need to have friends that we can bleed with. Friends that understand our pain, even if they say nothing, like Job's friends who sat with him for 7 days and said nothing. But of the 12, Jesus could only really select three, Peter, James, and John, who were his closest. And of those three, one was close, the closest of them all, and that was John. I don't think we can trust a lot of people around us with the intimate pain that we experience in our lives. We really only need two or three people. And definitely on social media and on the internet, I would say it's not a place for bleeding like Jesus was bleeding in this Garden of Gethsemane. He was literally bleeding drops of blood as he could feel this cup coming to him. And if you were to look inside this cup, it was swirling with murder, with incest, with abuse, it was swirling with diseases and leprosy and cancer. Every malady, every evil, every rotten thing you could think of that has afflicted humanity, it was in that cup. That's what he was repelling against. That's what he was finding difficult, because he was not being forced to this moment. Of his own will, he needed to go to the cross. It wasn't something that was beyond his power to control. It was his initiative. And it was his will that was saying yes to the will of God. But he was wrestling with it. As I've said before, three times he prayed, God, if you could take this away. And then again, he wrestled nevertheless. Not your will, but mine be done. As he stared into that black cup with all the demons cackling and the diseases of every kind, including coronavirus, including all the things that kill people every day around the world, from tuberculosis to even the flu, that all these things were in their blindness, deafness, all the problems of sin that have so afflicted and been part of the human race. He saw it all in that cup, and it repulsed his soul. But eventually he knew he was going to have to drink that cup to the last drop and take it to the cross and let it be crucified. That was the challenge that Jesus was facing in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so as he went there, he wanted to know he had some friends. And those three were chosen. And even then, they all didn't feel the import, the depth, the weight of that moment. And they fell asleep. Number four, aloneness is a challenge. He was alone in that garden now because his best friend's falling asleep. The ones he was looking to support him through the worst of his time, they didn't shape up. They didn't come to the party. And so sometimes we do feel alone. So nobody really understands the pressure we're facing, the pain we're feeling, the price we're paying. But I want you to know that God in heaven is able to dwell within us and feel with us whatever pain we're facing, whatever conflict we are trying to manage, so that right now, beyond all the friends that we may have in this life, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus. And he is the friend of friends. He can be deep inside of you, feeling and interceding for you before the throne of God. And as he does that, you and I are going to find ourselves able to resist whatever things are trying to overcome us with depression or discouragement. And we'll find ourselves actually able to go through. In these times, please make sure that you pray. Don't negate prayer. Put yourself aside in some area where you can commune with God, just on your own. And in that intimacy, you'll find a friend. You'll find that God is closer to you in the valley than any other times in your life. Closer than the times of success or on the mountaintop or in rejoicing. But when we're feeling the pain and paying the price of whatever, we're going to find that if we will pray, God is close and able to talk to our hearts and get us into a better place in our spirit. Number five, wrestle with yourself. Don't just succumb to your own self-desires to not pay the price, to not drink the cup. If Jesus had done that, he said, oh, why would I do this for all these people? They don't even care. Yesterday, they wanted to crown me king, and then the next day, they want to, for goodness sake, they're crucifying me. Why would I bother with the human race? No, I'm just going to walk away out of the garden and not even bother. But he was in the grip of wrestling with himself. I don't want to do this, but I know it's the will of God for me, so I'm going to do it. And then he'd go back to the other thing. I don't want to do this, but he'd pray. And each time he prayed, he found strength to do the will of God. So wrestle with yourself. Self-denial is a difficult thing in these days where people say, hey, if you want to do it, do it. Do whatever you want. Make sure you're happy. Make sure you're getting what you deserve in this life. But that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is going to another level and saying, I'm going to do the will of God. And the will of God isn't always just, you know, raspberries and jelly beans and rose petals and Disneyland. It's, in fact, that's moments. But the will of God is generally experiencing joy in the middle of turbulence and finding His power coming to bear in our life, even though it may be difficult. So Jesus went deeper into that garden, away from the other disciples, eventually to pray on His own. Number six, keep God in view. This is in Acts 2, verse 25, and I'll talk a bit more about this on Sunday morning, Resurrection Day. It says, David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. There's many things we can look at. You might be looking at your bank balance, and it could be very worrying for you. You might be looking at payments that you've missed, bills that you can't pay, and it's worrying. It creates anxiety. You may be looking at a house you can't afford. You may be looking at looking for jobs and they're just not there. Let me tell you, there is always a way through. There's always a way through. But the person we need to be looking at is above us. Lift up your eyes. Do you know, it's an interesting thing that often in religious circles, we say, bow your head and close your eyes. I've looked through scripture. It's difficult to find that saying anywhere in the Bible in terms of prayer. But actually, every time there is the invitation to prayer, there's the invitation to lift up your eyes and look. Open your eyes and look up. When Jesus blessed the bread that he gave to the multitude, he says, he looked up and gave thanks. When David was in trouble, he says, I lift up my eyes and I give thanks. When Jesus was in trouble, he lifted up his eyes and looked to God. Look away from this earth and the things that are trying to trouble you and look to God. He's there. If we will lift up our eyes, and I'm not saying you're going to see him with these physical eyes, but there is a set of eyes within us, spiritual eyes, if you like, the eyes of the born-again personality. They can see God. And when you see God, you know that you're going to find a way through whatever difficulty is happening. Number seven, keep the faith. Keep faith alive in your life. Acts 2 verse 26, and again, we'll talk more about this in a couple days on Easter Sunday morning. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. That's awesome. Peter quotes this. I mean, this is Peter quoting this, and he's quoting a Psalm 16 where it says, my glory rejoices. So that's pretty interesting that he calls it his tongue. So he's saying, my glory rejoices, my tongue rejoices. Your glory is your tongue. Don't let your glory become corrupted or become disengaged from being your glory. Let it be speaking glorious things. Let your tongue be used in the most magnificent purposes it could be, in praising God. That's the highest purpose your tongue can ever be put to, that it could be rendering worship to God in our worship services, in our praise, and speaking the word of God. But don't let your tongue be dragged down into the gutter by speaking corruption, by speaking negatively, by using it for negative things. Then it becomes a fouled fountain. Our mouth should be a fountain of life. And we can make that decision today. He says, my tongue rejoices, my body will also rest in hope. When you have hope about the future, you can rest today. You can relax today rather than being in a panic and running around in circles. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. God's not going to leave you. God's not going to abandon you. You will not let your Holy One see corruption or see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. This is the most magnificent but God moment in the Bible. God, the people put Jesus in a tomb. They crucified him on a cross. They sealed that tomb. They wanted him to just perish and be forever gone. This 33-year-old young man, dead, but God raised him from the dead. No matter what people do, no matter what happens on this earth, but God has got an answer. So declare your faith. Speak it out. Say, this is going to work for me. I heard about some of the cameramen here. We were talking before about some miracles that have happened in lives. And one of my good friends who've been in our church for many years, Mick Eady, and he was talking to one of our other cameramen here, Craig Giles, both incredible people. All of our camera guys are amazing people. And he was saying that God had spoken to him that he's going to have a feast in the famine. So he was chiding other people who were talking about how negative it all is. And he said to Craig, he said, no, I'm going to have a feast in the famine. And yet he got laid off a job as a cameraman. It was a big job. But they said, look, fill out this form. He filled out the form and got half the pay that he was due to get anyway. And he got paid for doing nothing. And so he said, that's exactly what I'm going to have. I'm going to have a feast in my famine. And I'm taking those words, Mr. Eady, and I will use them as well, because that is exactly, so many people are going to find that even though it's a famine, God's people can enjoy the blessing of God. And it often is going to depend on what you speak with your mouth. And so Craig Giles was also telling us of another story he had where he got laid off from a job where he was a cameraman and also got paid, and then his friends, family got paid as well, and for doing a similar job. And so they found work was coming in, and I was just so blessed to hear these jobs of people who are in our congregation. And we've always talked about use your mouth to bring blessing into your life. project blessing into your life with your mouth. God created the universe with his mouth, with words. And we create our universes with our words. Don't be cursing something God wants you to bless so that you can bring blessing into your world. Jesus spoke. I'm going to rest in hope because you're not going to abandon me in hell. I'm going to come out of this. And you need to understand that it wasn't a positive mental attitude that got Jesus through that. It was the power of God himself. You can't have a positive mental attitude when you're dead. You need to be relying on a force outside of yourself. And that is God himself. And he will do that. And the last point I want to make is purpose. Jesus knew that he had a purpose. And that was to die on behalf of other people on Good Friday. When I was a young man at school, I'd done something wrong. I couldn't remember. It wasn't uncommon for me to be playing up, doing something. But my brother was also in school. And we lost our mother when I was quite young. And so we were a little bit, I was, ragtag. He was always quite a good young man. But I remember the headmaster, he wanted to publicly shame that young Pringle character who had done this thing. And he said, "Pringle, you were, you know," and he didn't know which of us had done it. And I knew I'd been the guilty one. But actually, my brother stood up and he said, "Yeah, I'm sorry." You know, he took the blame. It was an incredible moment for me. I didn't know quite what to do. I just sat there and as my brother Jim said, "Yeah, I'm," and even though it wasn't quite true, it seemed like that's amazing. And I've remembered that moment down through. He must have felt sorry for his younger brother, recently lost his mum, and just wanted to try and cover it for me. That's what Jesus has done for you and me. That was his purpose. And it's our purpose to pick up on other people's problems and help them with them, just like Jesus has with us. And so in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Who for the joy that was set before him. What was that? That joy was you and me, receiving him into our lives, knowing that what he was doing was going to save our souls. It was going to cleanse our souls so that we would not be banished into darkness and eternity, but we would be able to enter heaven itself through a cleansed soul, through a cleansed and forgiven life. And so if you've never received Jesus and you've never reached out to have him in your heart or in your soul, today, please say this prayer with me and receive Christ as your Savior, as your friend. And if you're coming back to Christ, please pray this prayer also. Or even if you're just not sure that you're going to heaven, please pray this prayer with me right now. Say these words to God. "Dear God in heaven, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. I ask to be born again. Cleanse me from my sin. Help me follow Jesus. Thank you, God, for saving me. Amen." Amen. Look, if you just prayed that prayer, please make sure you connect with us on the details below on the screen. Or if you want to make a statement on the live chat, please do so. I'm praying that the peace of God and the power of heaven will be traveling with you from now on. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, Good Friday is good because on that day, Jesus secured healing for all of us. The fact is, healing has always been part of God's promise to the world. Peter, he says, "By his stripes, you were healed." And that's the amazing thing about Scripture, is that it talks about things we have got now as though they were gotten a long time ago. You were healed. He talks about it in past tense. So the New Testament is about appropriating realities that we already have in our lives. Even though we can't see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, smell it, even though it's not physically locatable, somehow we've got to know and believe that it's already happened in our lives. And that's where scripture, it takes us into another dimension, time dimension, that we already have some things that we may not be possessing yet, but as we believe that we have those things, we actually put ourselves in a place of connection with a reality that God has got for us. So I'm going to pray right now on the basis of the cross of Christ, where He took our sins and our sicknesses, so that we can, along with Peter, say He took our infirmities, He took our sicknesses. Let me pray for you right now that that healing power will come into your room, wherever you are right now. And I know that God is going to touch you today. The power of heaven is there right with you to bring healing to you. And I believe that this is a major part of what the church should be bringing to the earth today, healing and miracles in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray for your healing to come into people's worlds right now. Those people who are suffering with migraines, I command them to leave today. People who have problems in their throat, they've got flu-like conditions. In the name of Jesus, I command that to leave right now. People who are struggling with arthritis in their joints and bones throughout their body, right now, healing coming to those bodies right now in Jesus' mighty name. People who are having difficulty breathing, struggling with pneumonia, struggling with any kind of virus at all, in the name of Jesus, I command healing to come to you right now. In Jesus' name, Father, let healing fall on these lives today. God bless you. If you're getting healed or you've experienced a healing, please put it on the live chat and it'll encourage others, encourage our faith together in Jesus' name. Well, folks, that's all we got time for today. Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Tune in next time. And want to know more about C3 Church Family, the global tribe? Follow us on Instagram at C3 Church Global or find us on Facebook. We look forward to fellowshipping with you, hearing from you. Hit that subscribe button and rate us and review us. We'd love to hear from you so we know how we're doing and how we can do better.